I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on A Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
I'm pretty sure that John kept that footage in there of me panicking. If not,
or it's a separate clip.
Come on now. What if, if not, here it is on the screen. Lost my AirPod.
The joys of motherhood. Yeah. And we all know that pumping. Ashley is a scaredy cat. We know.
The biggest. The biggest of all the scaredy cats.
Yeah.
I don't know who I thought was coming in here, Freddy Krueger, but child, that was a jump scare.
Yep.
It was a jump scare.
Yep. I just saw a TikTok and it was a very similar Ashley Brooke situation. So obviously one guy's white and one guy's black. And they do a whole bit where each TikTok is like, the white guy takes the black guy to do white people crap. He don't call it crap. Then the black guy takes the white guy to do black people crap, right? And so it was the white guy's turn. And he said, all right, well, today we're going to go ghost hunting in these haunted houses. And the black guy's like, now listen, I've done a lot for you. I've done a lot. He said, I think y'all can have this one. I don't think no black person coming up in here and trying to take this hobby from y'all. You can have it.
I don't understand.
It's so funny.
I don't understand shows. I don't understand why you actively will go in and listen. He'll be like, I'm going to kill you. Like, no, I don't want to hear no ghosty creatures talking to me. I don't need that.
Yeah.
Like, even when I wake up in the middle of the night.
I don't do it either.
Like, even when I wake up in the middle of the night, I refuse to look at what time it is. Because if it's around 3 o'clock, I know that is the witching hour. And I know that more creepy things happen around there. So I'll wake up in the middle of the night. I'll be like, all right, I'm going to go pee. I'm going to get this. I'll put the blanket over my head. I'm going back to bed. And that's what happens every time. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No, ma'am.
There you go.
No, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And now I have this car battery thing that my dad's given me. It's the Stanley brand. So it's supposed to be like the great, you know, my dad gets all the gadgets and gizmos. And the thing is randomly making noise. So it's out there in the living room because I couldn't keep it in my room because in the middle of the night, it was just like, wee, woo, woo, woo. And I'm like, what's happening?
Because wait, I want to throw it in the trash. Battery sitting
in your living room. Battery. It's like a car battery jumper thing, but it also has like an air tire pressure thing, a flashlight, like a radio. It has ports to charge. It's like in case I get broken down the side of the road, right? So it's making all this noise and I want to throw it in the trash, but I feel like I'm going to wake up and the trash can is going to be surrounded by SWAT because it kind of sounds like it could be a bomb. You know what I mean? So I wanted to take it to Lowe's and be like, hey, this is making this noise, but I don't want to throw it in my trash can because I'm afraid SWAT's going to think it's a bomb. So can y'all dispose of it? But I feel like then they're going to call the cops on me. So I don't really know what to do with it. I'm like waiting for it to die and not make the noise anymore.
That's a great apocalypse tool, though. That's like
it don't work anymore.
Never mind.
It doesn't work anymore. It's just all the time. And sometimes it'll go on for minutes. It'll be like, and then it fades out and goes every time. I tried charging it.
Furbies. Do you remember the Furbies that would come on in the middle of the night?
Terrifying.
Yeah.
But this is all day long. The girls now are like, mommy, what's that? And I'm like, girl, I don't know. Like, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I think
Furby
was the original childhood trauma.
Oh, 100%. So if anyone knows what I should do with it, please let me know because I'm about tired of randomly being in this room and hearing.
I think you just throw it away. Put it in the big dumpster.
I'm afraid. It's loud, Brooke.
Oh.
Like, I know that thing is going
to
be. I need to make sure.
You don't like.
I don't even really know people in here. I stick to myself. Like, they be like, hey, Ashley. I be like, hello. I don't know your name. Hello.
Put it in your baby daddy's dumpster. Like, here you go, sir. You deal with the noise. You caused me a headache for years. And you get a headache now.
That is really smart. See, that is really smart. I feel like on Sunday when I go pick up the girls, I'm going to throw it in the trash. You're welcome.
So funny. Yes. I thought you needed it.
Just a little wake call.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Wow. So, Yeah.
We're going to jump right into our
Estudiantes today.
Yeah.
And our Estudiantes today is Carmen.
Hey, Carmen girl.
And her review is clearly 5 stars.
I don't know what happened to my arrow.
That's all right.
I tried.
You was very much sounding like my machine out there.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. All right. And Carmen says, because this is an email, she says, hi. Hey, good doing, girl.
Hey, girl.
I absolutely love that I found you two on this podcast. It's like I have two new teacher besties talking true crime with me on my walks every day. I have ADHD, so I've been trying to find more podcasts to enjoy versus the ones I listen to, which usually provoke thinking. I'm also a teacher and a podcaster. You both are so relatable and you make sure the facts are clear and your banter is so fun. I went all the way back to episode 1 after binging your latest IDK 50 or so. Dang, girl. Episode 1.
You went back to the submarine.
Yeah, we was back there.
Underwater.
Man, well, sure, we're in a closet, in the wall, you know?
Yeah.
It was a rough time back then. Anyways, I'm such a rambler. I've already commented on YouTube videos and DMing you, so I'm obviously trying to tell you that these 5 stars are for you. I made you a little Instagrammable 5-star visual attached. I hope you like it. Keep it up. You ladies are slaying.
Yes. Oh my gosh, she did send that. She sent that graphic on Instagram and she's like, I emailed it too. And I was like, I did not get an email. So I'm glad she resent that email.
To John to put it right there. So here it is.
She did. She sent a really cute graphic. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cute. She was like, I emailed it as well. And I was like, definitely didn't get an email. So I'm glad she resent the email because that was really sweet.
Yes. Thanks, girl. So Carmen, you know, Carmen, when I hear your name, I instantly think of Carmen San Diego.
I don't know what that is.
When I was a kid. What?
Who is that?
You know who Carmen San Diego is?
No. Am I supposed to?
Oh my gosh. She was like a detective. And like she would just travel the world. And she was a bad... You know the child's in here, so I can't say that. But she's a bad...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I remember when I was in elementary school, we always used to play Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? And they would give us clues about a state. And then we would have to submit where we thought she was based on the facts that she gave. Oh!
Did she have a TV?
I love Carmen. Yes! It was a TV show. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Yes, girl. You better... YouTube.
Okay.
You know what? I feel like she might have... I have to find it. My children have to watch her. I'm all about exposing my children to the shows that I watched as a kid because today's shows, trash. Hate them.
They are.
Hate them.
Yes.
So over the weekend, we did try and watch Good Burger. Aria, unimpressed. Baby girl
was asleep. Good Burger.
Because we wanted to watch Good Burger, the original, and then Good Burger 2. Because I haven't seen Good Burger 2. But why did they do my man... Kel like that in Good Burger 2. Like they put some prosthetics or something on his face and he just looked a little off. Why did they do my man's
name? Oh.
I had the biggest crush on him when I was a kid. I loved him.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Like orange soda? I do. Ooh, sure do.
Oh,
I loved him.
Oh, yeah.
I loved him. But anyway, Carmen, thank you for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to jump into it. Don't know really how to do the intro for this. because it's not like a murder. Okay, let's do this. Okay. Sit down, shut up. The creepiness is about to begin.
Ahora.
We're just going to go with it. Okay. All right, here we go. Yep. And I'm going to reveal nothing about this new content until the very end. And then you guys tell me what you think. Stitch Face sat three desks away from Hugo Dark in the third grade. They called her
What's
that
his
because
name?
Her Hugo Dark.
And the first Stitch Face?
Stitch Face.
Okay.
Yep. So Stitch Face sat three desks away from Hugo Dark in the third grade. They called her that because her upper lip had a hitch in the right side of it. It was assumed that an animal had bitten her lip, or at least that was the story that the kids made up amongst themselves. However, it wasn't like she ever admitted that to them or even spoke to them for that matter. She was, well, a weird kid, and she seemed to take a lot of crap and bullying from the other students around her. Hugo remembers Stitch Face would sit in class with her head down and her eyes glued to her notebook sitting on the desk. Her face was dark and lost. But she wasn't the only one who didn't enjoy school. Hugo Dark wasn't very fond of it himself. Warwick Elementary looked more like a castle from the outside than an actual school building, and on the inside, it was about as cheerful as a factory would be. Hugo described it as a place where boys and girls went to have the devil beat out of them, literally. But this outlook might have been something to do with a particular teacher, Miss Pendleton. The kids might not have hated it so much if they weren't so unlucky to have ended up in her class. Hugo says she truly deserved being called a witch and couldn't understand how someone who hated children that much ended up being a teacher, a calling that is usually only for those who have a passion for helping students. Hugo recalls her saying, quote, "You're nothing but a bunch of animals, and animals that can't behave get put in cages. Do you understand?" Hugo says these weren't just words either. There was a literal cage at the back of the classroom where they kept their class pet, a rabbit called Sleepy, since that is all the rabbit ever did. Miss Pendleton
God,
would
Sleepy
tell
did?
The... yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, was he dead?
You know,
like when our parents would like, well, my parents... I had a dog named Rocky, and I came home, and they let me call Rocky in the front yard for an hour. An hour. They had given this dog away, and they just let me stand in the front yard calling this dog, making me think that it had run away. This is why I am in therapy. Yep.
You know, I had a cat. Her name was Chimo, and my dad hated Chimo. And he would always try and take Chimo to an animal shelter while me and Stephanie were like not home or out. And he almost got her a couple times. He almost got her, but Stephanie would always be like, "No, Dad." And then one day I think I was out. So I think Stephanie was somewhere and he took her to the animal shelter. Sure did. Took my cat to the animal shelter.
See, see.
That's why I'm in therapy as well.
Exactly. So they had a class pet, a rabbit called Sleepy, since that's all that the rabbit ever did. Miss Pendleton would tell the misbehaving students that Sleepy had once been a boy in her class, but that he was naughty and didn't know how to stay out of trouble. She said one day he made her so mad that she locked him in that cage forever, and said that over time, the boy forgot how to do basic human stuff, such as walk and talk. Eventually, she said he forgot how to be human at all. Now, the kids at this time are only 8 years old, and most by now know the difference between real and imaginary. But Hugo said it was something about that threat and the story coming from her lips that made it seem so real, that he could be the next Sleepy. Now,
so he just changed into a rabbit?
Yeah, he was so naughty, and she locked him up, and over time, he just, evolution, became a rabbit.
What's going on?
Well,
what's going on here?
That's what she told them. I mean, didn't like Miss Trunchbull on a Matilda say something like that? Or like, child, you know Ms. what Trunchbull. I mean? Like,
probably Miss Trunchbull was scary. Awful. She was so yeah. scary.
Miss Pendleton's giving me like Miss Trunchbull vibes.
She's giving me Miss Trunchbull on like 1,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Cause what you mean?
You could be the next person in the cage.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to no cage.
Nope. I'm sure not.
And what
sure
year not. Is this? That you gonna say this to a child and not get penalized.
Exactly. But see, that's the thing. Miss Trunchbull put them in the chokey. And she made that boy eat that whole chocolate cake. And she then sure smashed did. The thing over his head.
She sure mm-hmm. did. She sure did.
Yup.
She would definitely get mm-hmm. fired these days.
Yup. Yup. She definitely would definitely need that loss. That the union.
Cause.
Now, we just said there is no way that this could actually happen in 2024. I mean, mm-hmm. we are seeing teachers getting let go for taking sick days without actually being sick. I just posted that on our Instagram story, actually.
Mm.
But back then, teachers got away with the harsher form of teaching, so to speak. Miss Pendleton was the days of the ruler slaps. And I don't know about you, Ashley, but like, I'm very familiar with the ruler to the hand punishment. Like, I got popped with the ruler on my hand when I was in school. It only happened once, but I was talking too much and then pop, she popped my hand with that ruler.
Yeah, that did not happen in New York where I attended school. Well, okay. I feel like even if I had the ability to do that to a student, I would not.
It happened to me.
No, but I'm saying like as being that's great. Like, I would never be like, even if they were like, yeah, you could rule a pop, like, y'all not getting me. Y'all not catching me in a trap. Yeah. Y'all not gonna get me in trouble. I'm just saying, little boy, don't do this again, okay? Someone else wanna rule a pop.
Miss Moore. I remember her.
Dang. Miss Moore. What is she doing these days, Miss Moore? I don't you know still popping people then, with though. Rulers, Miss Moore?
Yep.
I guess. That's so crazy.
So Hugo said that beside her desk was a cabinet where she would keep all of her, quote, tools, as she called them. Miss Pendleton had one device she called the straight holder, which she would use if she caught students leaning forward or to the side too far. She would smack her ruler on their desk and yell, straighten up. After two smacks, she would then give you a pull to the ear, and on the third time, the kids would be forced to stand up against a straight edge to get the point across. Another one of her devices was called the head holder. According to Hugo, it was essentially the same thing, but it came out when students were caught looking out the window instead of paying attention to her lesson that day. She would be fired. She would be
She's fired. No longer in. She's no longer with us. Correct.
Yes. Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. The pitchforks would have come out for Miss Pendleton.
Especially if my child was in Miss Pendleton's class.
Ooh. Yup.
Child. Mm-hmm. Me and Miss Pendleton would be scrapping.
Meet me in that parking lot.
4:05 after the contractual time. I'm no longer Miss Brand. Yep. You are no longer Miss Pendleton. Okay.
Let's go.
See me outside. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Catch me outside. How about that?
How about that?
Uh-huh. But with Stitch Face, or Alice, as we should call her, because that was her name after all, Miss Pendleton's punishments always went further than they should have, and Miss Pendleton knew she could get away with it because Alice didn't have any parents, because she was an orphan.
Oh, no, Miss Pendleton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You better leave her alone. You better leave Miss Alice alone, Miss Pendleton.
So, and her guardians weren't in a position to care what was happening to her at the school. The kids at this time had a hard time wrapping their heads around the idea that someone could not have parents. Hugo said he became nosy because this concept was very unusual to him. And after school, as the kids were being picked up from school that day, he would purposely wait to try and peek at who would come for Alice. He one time saw her walking hand in hand with a very tall, thin man. Hugo said that something about this man made his blood run cold, but he couldn't explain why. But as he stared and the figure turned the corner, he realized Alice wasn't holding hands with a man who looked like a shadow, but the thing beside her was a shadow. It was her shadow. He was bewildered, but then he looked again and saw the doll Alice dragged behind her and saw she was simply just walking along. He thought he had imagined it. And he began to imagine what home was like for Stitch Face Alice. The doll was familiar to the kids as it particularly lived in Alice's desk, stuffed all the way in the back where the hands and feet dangled out of the drawer. The kids remember the weirdest part about the doll wasn't that she carried it, but the doll had the same messed up lip too, and the scar on the doll was in the exact same spot as Alice's scar. Hugo found himself wondering who first got the scar, the doll or Alice. This doll actually made history because it was the only time anyone actually stood up to Miss Pendleton when she tried to take Alice's doll away. Miss Pendleton said, "Give it. A girl your age shouldn't be playing with dolls. It's time to grow up and leave such foolish ways behind." Alice didn't say anything. She just stared at Miss Pendleton as she swung the desk around and reached for the doll. Only her hand froze in the air before it ever even reached the drawer. Almost like a wall had stopped her. The students witnessed Miss Pendleton's fingers bending all the way back, cracking as they nearly touched the back of her hand. Alice just kept staring with no expression on her face. This all happened the last day before Christmas break, and when the students returned in January, Alice was nowhere to be found. Her desk was emptied out, her books were gone, and her name was removed from the banner that hung on the wall with all the students' names on it. Where did she go? Miss Pendleton seemed almost giddy and pleased with herself that day, and Hugo decided to work up the courage and ask out loud in class what happened to Alice, as something didn't sit well with him to Miss Pendleton. She replied, "You know what they say, don't you? Don't go chasing rabbits." It was then the students also noticed that Sleepy was no longer in his cage.
Oh my God. Yep.
He was gone and the cage was empty. Students recall that they always felt sorry for Alice, but it wasn't until she disappeared that they had unleashed a beast in Miss Pendleton. See, Alice was always the one who took it the worst from Miss Pendleton, but without her there, the games had only just begun. A note then circulated around the classroom that read, "Have you seen her?" with a crude drawing of a dead-faced girl with a curled lip. The no column had three X's and the yes column had seven check marks. Students marked their answer and passed it on without a thought of the matter and its seriousness. Some said that Alice wasn't really gone, and one student named Jarvis said he had seen her in the bathroom. A girl named Jenny said she'd seen Alice across the street, but these were third graders who had just experienced a horrid teacher and a classmate that was missing. Of course, their imagination ran wild. However, months passed and it was the middle of March and still no sign of Alice. Hugo remembers that Miss Pendleton was letting the class outside a lot more than usual. And he remembered specifically of the day that she brought buckets full of little shovels and told the class they were going to dig, saying that it was for a science and a class garden. However, the ground was frozen as the winter had not fully passed yet, which made the whole process harder for the kids. This was noted as very strange to Hugo, who later spoke about this incident. But the kids still found themselves talking about their missing classmate, Alice. And I mean, rightfully so. They were curious, but Miss Pendleton was not. She screamed, "Enough! Since you pigs can't stop talking about the dead, maybe you should play the dead men game, huh?"
The dead men.
Mm-hmm. Yup. Mm-hmm. The dead man game was where one student would lie down in the middle of the class, the rest of the students would pile their jackets on top of the student, and then they would begin to walk around the mound of jackets. They would hold their hands and sing a song made up of meaningless words. Then the dead man would rise up and the students would unlock hands and run away. Whoever was caught would become the dead man for the next round. Now, I know you're giving me a weird face, but we used to play this. Like, this is a real game.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I played this. We could call Mary right now. And it was like, we played it on the trampoline. I cannot remember the words, but it was like, dead man, something, something, something. I vividly remember this game. It was basically like Tag, but it was like for morbid children, which is why I probably now have a true crime podcast. Like, Tag wasn't enough for us. We had to pretend we were dead.
I ain't never played no game like that in my life.
Okay. So I'm a little weird.
Just a snitch. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Cool. Cool.
Different. You know, just learning a lot about differences, you know, today.
Yep. I was smacked with a ruler. You've never had corporal punishment. And I played a game about dead people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Good.
However, Miss Pendleton threw in her own rule, and the dead man was required to give her something of value until they found a new dead man. But what was strange, Hugo tells later, is that his friend Tommy was the dead man during this time. He gave Miss Pendleton his baseball glove. But that wasn't the weird part. All of a sudden, Tommy got really sick after they all played this dead man game and would come to school visibly sick with bags under his eyes. When Hugo asked him what was wrong, Tommy told him of these dreams he was having about a man coming into his room at night and dragging him out of the bed. This man would take him back to school where Miss Pendleton would force him to dig more holes. Hugo said he began seeing less and less of Tommy until he no longer saw him at all. Hugo was an 8-year-old boy associated with this weirdness to Miss Pendleton. Nope, that's not the sentence. Hugo, as an 8-year-old boy, associated all of this weirdness to Miss Pendleton and the dead man game. So he told her he wouldn't be playing the game anymore. But when she asked the class to play, what choice did he have? Miss Pendleton was awful. Hugo said he would run as hard as he could to not get caught by the dead man and even found himself hiding out in the bathroom. One day, he was hiding out in the bathroom, standing on the toilet, crying when he heard the knocks on the door. He said he was hesitant to unlock the door, but eventually did. However, he didn't see anyone, but he says when he turned back around in the stall, he saw Alice standing on the water tank. She didn't look dead or dirty. Her hair was bright and her eyes were blue. He said this was the first time he really saw her and looked at her closely, only to realize she was actually pretty. He said whatever or whoever he was looking at took a piece of paper out of her pocket and she placed it against the wall and started drawing. She drew two pictures and placed them in Hugo's hands. The first picture was of the teacher's desk with a little girl inside with lines drawn through her body. Hugo looked at the girl slash spirit and clarified, "Your doll. She's tied up in the teacher's desk. And you want me to cut her free?" Alice nodded. The second drawing showed a boy holding a shovel and beside him was a little girl laying in the dirt. The boy was covering her in a way that described burying her. Hugo took this as he was supposed to bury the doll once he got it from the desk drawer. Then all of a sudden, Alice disappeared. Hugo knew he had to make a plan, so he did with Jimmy, the kid who sat to his right. The plan was that Jimmy would fall down in the hallway during lunch and pretend he broke his leg. He screamed, "He broke his leg. Miss Pendleton." Yeah.
He fell down and broke his leg.
They're eight. I mean, in an 8-year-old's head, this is like a great plan, right?
If I was Miss Pendleton, I would have been like,
"Boy, get up."
It probably wouldn't even be that kind. She'd probably be like, "You the dead man," or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. So he screamed, "Miss Pendleton, I need help." While she was distracted, Hugo would be the one to go into her desk drawer and cut the doll free. Hugo claimed that this plan would have worked had Jimmy been a better liar or actor. But in the time it took to get the scissors and open the drawer, Miss Pendleton had walked back in the room. According to Hugo, she said, "You little sneak. You wormy, squirmy little sneak. You like to play games behind the teacher's back? Well, I've got the perfect game for you."
No.
Miss Pendleton then yanked Hugo's hand and pulled him towards her. She took his hand and used her nail clipper to take off a piece of his finger. The bloody bits of skin and nail were then placed in a little black sack. Hugo said he tried to stay awake that night, but he couldn't fight it. He said he dreamed of dark hands twisting through his bedsheets, pulling him down into a bag of sleep. A man put him in a sack and carried him away. The man's upper body was exposed and he wore a pointy metal hood over his head. Hugo said he could hear himself say, "I'm sorry, Alice," as he bounced off each stair and over the driveway. He said he then arrived on the floor of the classroom. He said that Tommy was there and Jenny and Mildred, who had also been missing. Their eyes were glowing red as if they had been crying blood. When they saw Hugo, he said their mouths stretched out into gaping, evil smiles. And it was then he realized that those were not his friends. They were demons. They had shovels and they all started scooping soil out of the yellow tub and dumping it over Hugo's face. He said he tried to move, but these hands were coming out of the floor and holding him in place. Dirt began to fill his mouth and nostrils and he began to not be able to breathe. And on top of all of it, while this was happening, Hugo could hear her laughing at him. That evil witch of a woman was laughing as he choked to death. It was then Hugo heard the window shatter, although to him, it sounded like his own mind was blasting apart. The hands that were holding him back crumpled and he sat up. He says that when he then saw, what he then saw will never make sense to him. But in his dream, there was a tall man in the room with him, so tall that his head touched the ceiling. His body was that of the darkness, and his hands in his hands were Miss Pendleton. He was throwing her against the wall like a wet doll. The whole room began to spatter with her blood. What Miss Pendleton had not known was that Hugo was able to snip one of the bindings from the doll when she caught him in the desk drawer. And the anger that one little cut set free was so commanding that it left Hugo's heart cold. He then saw Alice in the window, but it did not bring him joy, although he knows through the crook in her lip that he could see that she was smiling. However, Miss Pendleton forever left his heart a little colder and so many other children's fearful. So what are your thoughts on this very first creepy pasta?
I was genuinely scared the whole time. Like, I'm actually very thankful that my child isn't here right now because that was really creepy. I don't like that. I want to know, like,
I think well, she was a witch.
Killing kids.
That's what I. Well, I think
she was killing them. So she was keeping them in his dream.
Well, she was keeping their items in the drawer, which their souls were attached. This is how I interpret it. Which their souls were attached to these items, right? So then she had these kids in a dream state because that's what they're like saying is like they kept dreaming of these things until they no longer showed up at school, and so I think she was like casting spells on them. I think that she was a witch. And when he cut,
so were they just all, the binding did they of all the doll, not have parents?
I don't know.
Like, no one was asking
Hugo
no questions.
I mean, Hugo said he had parents. Like, where did all these kids go?
Yeah, and then did Miss Pendleton die? Did
Yeah, she died.
She died? Okay. So did everybody get to go free now? Is everything good?
See, I don't know.
I don't like that. Yeah. I do not like that. I do not like that. That was very creepy. And I want to know what about Sleepy, the rabbit?
What happened to Sleepy? Yeah.
Because I was almost expecting old girl to be the next Sleepy and have a little crooked jaw and
Yeah. Well, this story was written by the author Hugo Dark. And it was found on creepypasta.com. So this is something that Ashley and I wanted to start doing is kind of like bringing you some creepypastas and reading them and then rating them. So on creepypasta.com, the readers gave Hugo Dark a 7.43 out of 10 for his story. And most of the commenters said that they were a bit confused by the ending. Some mentioned that the story was hard to follow towards the end, but like the beginning was really strong and then they like kind of lost them.
Yeah.
I get definitely see that. And then I also think that Hugo left a lot up for interpretation, which is why I think I was able to interpret that she was a witch, the souls were attached to these objects. She kept them in a dreamlike state. But when Hugo snipped the bindings, it released the anger from the items, which was essentially their souls, which is how she ended up being killed in Hugo's dream. That's how I interpret it. Now, I could be so wrong. So,
I don't even think that deep, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know what I thought.
You were just worried about Sleepy.
I was worried about Sleepy. I was worried about Alice. And then all these other kids went missing, and I didn't even know they went missing until Hugo's dream. And I'm like, oh, I thought that was just the three kids or the two kids. And
yep.
And Ms. Pendleton.
So, like, what would you rate it? What would you rate this
I would
story?
Rate it like a 5.
Okay. Fair.
I would rate it like a 5. I feel like a 7.4 is very kind because, like you said, the beginning was very strong. It was laying the foundation. But towards the end, I was just like, what do you mean? Like, a lot was left for interpretation.
The really tall man who looked like a shadow wearing a hat.
And then was that the same man who was holding hands with Alice when he saw him that
See?
One day?
Yeah. The connection.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't, like, who is the man? I just have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions that are unanswered, and I feel like I'm not going to get them. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was our first creepypasta. And so, like, what I was thinking in mind for, like, content like this, and guys, we're just trying it out, so, you know, you can always give us your constructive criticism if this was not your cup of tea. But I just thought it was really fun. I think you all should go now rate this story. And what would you have given it? So, like, on our Instagram, we're obviously going to give credit to Hugo Dark, who's the author. And you can find his stories on creepypasta.com. But it's a new segment we're doing. So why don't you go rate it or let us know what you thought. Mm-hmm. And obviously, they're all going to be education-centered. So, yeah.
Okay. That was different.
Wasn't it? It was a little different. Like, it was kind of like that book we were talking about.
Which book?
The kids book we were just talking about that we both read. And it was like the ribbon around the neck. And
yes,
then I remember the
creepy stories they tell in the dark.
Yes, it reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when she said with the doll, I was like, this is very much giving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very much giving. Mm.
So.
And then what was the symbolism behind the doll? Oh, I just have so many questions.
See?
I just have so many questions. Like,
So what were your interpretations? Like, y'all let us know. Like, did I go too deep? Or were y'all worried about Sleepy as well? Or am I just the weirdo?
I was worried about a lot of things. I'm worried about the school district because they about to get sued.
Also, let me know if y'all played the Dead Man game so that I don't feel so weird. Because Ashley got me out here thinking that I'm a weirdo.
I mean, I wouldn't say you're a weirdo. I would just say, you know, that's different.
A little morbid as
because
a child.
knowing the creepy the scaredy cat that I am, I wouldn't be playing games like that.
Yeah.
Like when the kids when younger with the thing in the mirror, I'm not gonna say it because it's going.
BM.
I was never that girl. Or when they would pull out the Ouija board, call my mom, come get me.
Now I've never messed with a Ouija board. I have never messed with a Ouija board, and I will never mess with a Ouija board. And then my sister lived with a girl who did tarot cards in their house that they lived in college. And I was like, no, thank you.
See, tarot cards aren't bad, though, because I watch a girl, Miss Hawaii Tarot, shout out to her, because she's my girl. She does Scorpio love readings, and those things are kind of accurate. They're kind of accurate.
I don't know how they work.
Because it's not about, like, demons and scary stuff. It's just, like, you know, because when I was younger, I always thought the death card would mean, like if I went to a psychic, they're like, you're going to die. Like, I never went to a psychic because I'm always afraid they're going to tell me I'm going to die.
Right.
But, like, the death card in tarot doesn't mean, like, you die. It's, like, a new beginning. You know what I mean? Like, things are changing. So a lot of times, like, in a lot of my readings, the death card is pulled because I feel like I'm going through all these, like, changes of, like, leveling up. Into,
so it's
like,
kind of like just reading your horoscope.
You're like energy. Yeah, essentially. Like your energy and what's going on and stuff like that. And she'll be like, oh, you have these people. And it's not always. It's like, you know, if this doesn't apply to you, don't take it, like, clearly. But if it applies to you, then, like, take it. So some of the things I'll be like, yeah, that ain't got to do with me. Nope. And then some things I'm like, oh, I know exactly who that person she's talking about is. Mm-hmm. I know that person. You know what I mean? So I'll do tarot cards, but I won't do none of that scary stuff. Like haunted houses, my friends always do Tipsy and Terrified every single year. Every single year I opt out.
During
I don't
October,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't go every time because they always doing haunted houses and stuff like that. The last one I did go to, not this past year, that past the one before that. And we went to Frightland.
Mm.
And my eyes were closed for 90% of it.
Mm-hmm.
For 90% of it. And the one time I opened it on the haunted hayride, there was this creepy lady in my face like this. And I screamed and I closed my eyes again. And that was it.
Yep.
That was
it. I went to one of those haunted houses my freshman year of college. And me and Jared Morgan, shout out Jared Morgan. I don't even know where he's at nowadays, but he's somewhere. Because when I tell you it was me and him in the back of that, I don't know why. We were the ones that got like the pity invite, I think. So we got put in the back of the line. And I clinged to life to this man I had never met before. I was like, you, if I'm going down, you are going with me.
Like, I don't understand how people watch scary movies, how people go to those haunted.
I can't do that either.
Like, there's a the state penitentiary, the something, the pen something, some in Pennsylvania haunted, like, ex-prison that they turn into.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No, I'm not going to go. I remember in college, I'll never forget my friends. They were like, oh, let's go see Paranormal Activity.
No.
We went to the midnight showing. I don't know why my scary ass decided to go because I had no business being there. We went to the midnight showing. The people who do that paranormal show was like, yeah, we saw the movie. It is scary. Da, da, da. I'm like, y'all do this for a living and y'all scared. Why am I here? Why am I here?
That would be a no for me.
I did not sleep for a week. I slept when the sun was out. When it was dark, I was awake. I was awake. I was watching TV. I was not asleep. As soon as the sun rose, that's when Ashley slept. It was.
I ain't doing none of that.
It was not. So my next man, you could like scary things, but keep that away from me.
Yep.
Do not prank me. Do not do those little things where it's like, boo, I'm gonna scream every time. Every single time people at school that come up, hey, Miss Brown, I scream every single time.
Yep.
It's just who I am. Okay. I'm just a scaredy cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I love Halloween, though. That's crazy. I love the dress up part of Halloween. That's it. I love the dress up and the parties.
That is fun. Yeah.
Not the scary things. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I agree.
I'm a little scared. And remember how my child said, oh, my eye hurts. I'm not tired. She's slumped.
She's knocked out.
Knocked
She's
out here.
Out.
Mm-hmm. Talking about, I can't go to sleep. Snoring.
Bless her.
Mm.
Oh. That was our first creepypasta.
That was my first one. I don't even know if I'm gonna, if it's that level of creepy, because there were some things I was like, And then when her blood was splattering on the wall, I was like, that was a little graphic.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try and find one, but I'm afraid because that like left me a little unsettled. So I'm afraid if I do one, I might be a little bit more unsettled. So, you know, when I bring one, I'm gonna bring it, but you're not gonna know.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm gonna try and hide it a little more too. Like I'm gonna try and like set it up like kind of like all of our ones. Like, oh, this takes place, and I'm gonna make up a place.
Okay.
Kansas City.
I should have done that. I'll get better. This is our first one. That
would
be,
yeah, 100%. We got to lay it out and,
I just jumped right in. I just jumped right in with Miss Pelton and Sleepy in the Cage and Stitch Face.
Because then we started out with Stitch Face. I was like, Stitch Face? Who is that? And Hugo. Yep.
And Hugo.
And Hugo.
Yep.
Like, oh gosh, that was crazy. But
yeah.
I'm going to see. I was going to go on the website now and look, but it's 11 or something. And it's creepypasta. And I feel like I'm going to read things that are just going.
You probably don't need to read it tonight at 11 o'clock.
I don't. Yeah. And yeah, I'm not going to do that tonight because tomorrow's state testing. So I have to be
good luck. For today. We have a Thank weather so day tomorrow.
That is, what's the weather for?
No, it's just because it's scheduled into our thing. And if we haven't had to use it, then we just get it as a day off. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
I like that. It's That's nice. Nice. Because our weather days, if we don't use them, we get out earlier. Like where our last day is supposed to be the 13th, but since we had to use an additional snow day than we were like allocated, we have to give that day back.
Right.
So our last day is now on the 14th, not on the 13th. Well, the last teacher student day is the 12th, I believe.
Wow.
I think. Yeah, the 12th of
June. Yeah, so I have training. We're out of school tomorrow for the weather day, and then I have trainings Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I took off Friday.
Oh, that's nice.
So
that's real nice. Yeah. That's a nice week. That's a nice week. You know,
mental health matters, guys.
Yeah, I'm telling you. We got tested Monday, Tuesday. I think makeup's the rest of the week, I think. Then the following week, testing Monday, Tuesday, the other test, because we have to take the reading and the math one. And then we have to do our end of year testing, our MAP and our Dibbles data. So we're pretty much just in testing mode until like.
Yeah.
The middle of May.
Wow.
I would say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So much fun. We love that.
Well, good luck to you.
Thanks, girl. Well, have fun with your little weather day, your little trainings. You're about to grow that brain.
Yeah. Thanks.
Period. Mm-hmm. Well, as always, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.